Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. This past week, on Thursday, Jo Scott, you know her, a pro-life leader, you know her from this radio program, was given a citation by a Denver police officer for violating what is called the bubble law. And Jo Scott, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thanks, Bob.
Before we get to that story, I would like to give the audience an update on the open letter to Dr. James Dobson that we have been working on. So, to let you know, many of you have been following this story. It's being reported on the internet, at other websites. People around the country have contributed financially, and we have prepared an open letter to Dr. Dobson that is being signed by a handful of Christian ministries, and some with a national scope. And this letter is contrasting the statements of Focus on the Family in writing, in their press releases and a column on their website, family.org, contrasting their claims about this Supreme Court ruling that upholds the partial birth abortion ban. We are contrasting their claims with the actual ruling itself. Extensive excerpts from the ruling. The ruling is probably the most brutally wicked ruling in the history of American courts. It is far more wicked and brutal than Roe v. Wade, than that decision itself. And so to say that this ruling protects children, that this is a godsend, that we celebrate this pro-life ruling, to call the judges who wrote it pro-life, to call the court pro-life, the ruling pro-life, it's all false. It's not true. And it devastates us, but I want to let you know now the latest. We have reserved space for a full-page ad in a local newspaper for our open letter to Dr. Dobson. And a physician from Ohio heard about this effort and offered to us that he would personally pay for a full-page ad in a national Christian publication, a magazine. And so we have now reserved space in that magazine for this letter. So a full-page ad in a local newspaper, full-page ad in a national Christian magazine. And, of course, we are also planning and contracting for advertisement on the Internet, about a month's worth of advertisement, so that Christians can see the difference between what the pro-life movement is claiming and what the truth is in this evil ruling. And if you doubt our assessment of this ruling, you could hear Alan Key's assessment, and I challenge you to try to disagree with his assessment. It's online. You could see it. It's very brief. It's a video clip at coloradorighttolife.org. Just go to coloradorighttolife.org. Right at the top, you can click and hear Alan Key's assessment of this evil, despicable ruling. And then you could read the analysis of the ruling right there. Or you could click right there at the analysis of the ruling and read the ruling itself. Okay. So that's the latest. That's what's happening. Joe Scott.
Thank you so much for doing that, Bob. It's so important that Christians just aren't led down a path blindly to follow the ban, thinking that it's a great thing. It's not.
Yeah, it's an evil, wicked thing.
That's right.
And when we rejoice and we call good evil and evil good, maybe we think we're gaining momentum by calling evil good. But that doesn't work. And it backfires.
So sad.
Yeah, this ruling, this is not even a partial birth abortion ban. This ruling is a partial birth abortion manual. It explains. The pro-life justices give instructions on how to perform partial birth abortions to the same baby, the same late term in development, how to do it so that it will be legal. And instead of pulling the baby out to the neck, pull him out to the belly button. And then literally they indicate you could rip off his leg. You could kill him however you want, as long as you only pull him out to the belly button. So this is a 4-inch variation on a textbook partial birth abortion. And they even say that's legal. Mm-hmm. In various circumstances, even a regular partial birth abortion is legal.
It has an oops clause.
Yeah. If the woman is overdilated and the abortionist tends to do a partial birth abortion to the navel and then say rip off his leg or kill him, however, that's the abortionist's intent, that's fine. But if the baby happens to come out all the way to the neck, then the abortionist could stab him in the back of the neck and suck out his brains and kill him exactly as they have been doing all these years.
Well, they have to. It's an abortion. They can't let that baby be born if he slides a little too far. The whole intention of the procedure is to kill the child.
That's absolutely right. And the opinion, in fact, quotes one abortionist who says, my intent is not to have a result of a live birth, but to kill the fetus. And so if the baby is coming out too far, the abortionist will hold the baby's head just inside the mother, crush its skull, do whatever's necessary to kill it at that point.
That's right.
So it is a gruesome, vile, wicked, anti-Christian, godless, anti-family, anti-child ruling. And our Christian leaders have compromised on Do Not Murder. And because of that, they are able to say, we thank God for this victory.
It's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. Okay. So now, Joe, speaking of heartbreaking, a Denver police officer charged you with a crime on Thursday.
Yeah, he did.
A
Christian Denver police officer.
He's a Christian, no less.
Yes.
You know, that is just so rude.
I know.
I can't believe he's done it to you.
Yeah, neither can I.
It reminds me,
Yeah.
It reminds me of Westward when they did this major article on all of us. And in the first paragraph, they described you as the frizzy-haired woman.
I'll never live it down.
And we were waiting, you know, for this big article to come out. It's like a 8-page article or something.
Right.
And I called Joe Scott up, and I said, Joe, it's out. And she said, how bad is it? I said, it's worse than you could ever imagine. They start out by calling you a frizzy-headed woman. So anyway, Joe, but this guy was rude. He gave you a ticket. Could you explain what the bubble law is?
The bubble law says that I have to be 100 feet away from the door of the abortion clinic, or more than 100 feet away from the door of abortion clinic, before I can walk with a woman next to her. If
right.
I'm within the 100 feet, I have to stay 8 feet away from her.
Okay, so
it remains to be seen.
Within 100 feet of the door of the abortion clinic, you have to be 8 feet away.
Right.
From the woman, if she asks you to back off.
Right.
So when a woman is going to have an abortion, then if she's walking up to the abortion clinic, then, of course, sidewalk counselors will walk alongside her, offer her literature. And if she says, back away, get away, anything like that, then you're supposed to get back 8 feet. And so she's allowed to go in and kill her baby. And if you're 103 feet away, you can walk up to her and hand her literature.
Right.
If you're 99 feet away and she says back off, you can't hand her literature, that kind of thing.
Right, that.
It reminds me of the partial birth abortion ban.
Right.
If you're 4 inches too far, then you can't kill it unless you kill it this way. But if you're 4 inches out further, then you could kill it any way you want.
Yeah, and then you can inform a woman as long as you're so many feet away from her. Inside. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's all regulating the slaughter of children. It's absurd. But anyway, that's the world we live in.
Yeah, whether or not I did that remains to be seen.
Yeah, right. But so they are. Now, you've been there every day they're killing for many years, unless you're out of the state typically.
Right.
As are other Christian pro-lifers. And over 100 babies are saved typically every year that were scheduled to be killed at Planned Parenthood in Denver at 20th and Vine.
Mm-hmm. That's
so,
right.
So that's reasonably effective. Now, on the day before you were cited, that was an especially good day for saving babies. Is that right?
That's right. We had 3 babies saved the day before the citation.
3 babies saved. There were about 30 babies scheduled to be killed.
That's right.
That day, women who showed up. And so that means three saved, that's 10%.
Right.
Which is pretty extraordinary. You know, they claim if you believe the statistics, which we have shown are not credible, but if you believe the statistics, all the years, decades, and millions of hours of man hours and millions of dollars of financial giving to pull up together informed consent laws that end with, and then you could kill your baby, that will even keep abortion legal after Roe v. Wade is simply overturned. And they claim that those laws save 1.5% of the babies that would have been killed. And that actually would be a large number, except that the statistics are not credible.
That's right.
And the statistics are not credible. And all the years spent, and that law undermines the protection of the child, which is personhood. Any law that says, and then you could kill the baby, destroys the personhood argument of the child.
And that's the only way we're going to win this argument against abortion is with personhood.
Yeah, legally.
Legally.
Legally, the only way to win eventually is to defend the personhood of the child.
That's right.
And the God-given right to life. Those are the only ways. So every law that we spend years passing that ends with, and then you could kill the baby, that law, even though it was passed by pro-lifers, it destroys yet again the personhood of the child. So that's all counterproductive. But when you're at the abortion clinic and you cry out to save a woman from killing her child, then you're not affirming a supposed right, and then you could kill the baby. You're just trying to save that baby.
Right.
And we're not going to win the battle at the clinic. We have to win the battle with the government.
That's right.
Because we have to outlaw killing of children.
But in the meantime, we have to save everybody that we can.
In the meantime, you save as many as you can. And so that day, you guys saved 10% of the kids who were going to be killed.
That's right.
And those women, some of those women, I heard the account from you and from others who were there, including our general manager, Will Duffy. Mm-hmm. That was his first day ever at a clinic.
I know. What a day he had.
What a day.
You know, I was at a clinic for months before I saw one child saved. And he's his first day out, three in a row. That's what he thinks is supposed to happen every day.
Yeah, right. And so some of these women end up in tears and thanking the Christians for being there as the last line of defense.
That's right.
For themselves, for their baby's life. And one grandmother came out of her car and thanked you guys for being there. That's all extraordinary.
Very.
Anyway, they lost how much money from those three saves? Planned Parenthood, they charge good money to kill kids.
About $450 apiece.
$450 apiece. So that's on Wednesday. That was $1,350 that they lost that day in revenue. And so that doesn't make them happy.
No.
And that's more than usual in one day. So the next day, you were cited for violating this absurd law.
Right.
Okay, the bubble law. And the guy who cited you, you mentioned he's a Christian?
Christian officer.
Wow.
And over the years, I've gotten to know him. He's a decent guy. I like him. He's a good cop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not abusive. He's not aggressive. He's just a nice guy. He's doing his job.
Yeah.
Have we heard that before?
Yeah, he's doing his job. And what is his defense when they're killing children in the abortion clinic and you are trying to save these kids' lives? What is his defense for charging you with a crime? It'd be like if we were in Germany and they're killing Jews inside and somebody's trying to save the Jews, save one who's going in to be killed, and a Christian German officer comes and charges that person with a crime. That's an ugly situation.
Well, his defense that day was Romans 13, because I said, you can't charge me. You can't ticket me. You're my brother. And you're supposed to be a terror to the evildoer who's evil.
Yeah.
And he said, Romans 13 says that God puts all the authorities in power and I have to obey them.
Boy, is he confused.
Yeah.
So we should talk through that,
yeah.
Romans 13, because a lot of Christians are confused. Okay, should we obey the governing authorities? Yes, as a general rule, because the authority structure that exists, God has established that authority structure.
Right, and I think that's where they're confused. He has establish the structure,
right,
not the people to be in the structure.
Yeah, like the Bible says, children, obey your parents.
Right.
So does that mean that's an absolute without any possible exception?
Well, no. If a parent is telling his child, you have to go to the corner store and rob him.
Right.
Or the child knows better.
Right, exactly. Or even worse. I mean, some parents do the most despicable things and instruct their kids to do the most despicable, vile, evil things. And so it would be pretty absurd for a Christian to say, well, the Bible says obey your parents.
Right, be woodenly literal on something that's obviously sin.
Sin and immoral. So has God established the authority structure of parents over children?
Yes.
Has God done that?
Yes.
He has. So that's why the Bible says to obey your parents.
Mm-hmm.
Because children don't have authority over the parents. The parents have authority over the children. So that we are to honor God in the authority structure that he called into existence when he created us as human beings who could procreate so that parents can have children. That's what makes them parents. And so children are to obey their parents because that's God's authority structure. He has delegated authority through parents to the child.
Right.
And even the kid could kick the cat off the couch.
Even the kid.
Right? Because authority flows downhill, not uphill.
That's right.
Now, the same thing is true. God authorized human government. Many theologians will identify what they call the dispensation of human government, and they identify that as beginning in Genesis chapter 9, after the flood, Noah disembarks, and God institutes the death penalty, and thereby gives authority to governments to punish criminals.
To wield the sword.
To wield the sword, exactly what Paul says in Romans 13, so that the government has authority over civilians and over criminals to punish them. So just as a child is to obey his father, a civilian, a citizen, is to obey the government, because God is the one who established the authority structure of governments and of families.
Right.
And even of churches in the body of Christ, but that functions in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And God has established these three institutions, family, church, and government, and they all have different realms of authority and influence. And it's wrong to cross over, like the church doesn't have the authority to punish criminals.
Right.
That's just not right. And the government is not the place where children should be spanked if they're rude to their mother. That's not right either.
Right.
But God has given to each its realm of influence and authority. Okay, so this police officer is saying that because of Romans 13, I have to uphold the law no matter what it says?
Right, because he thinks that that verse tells him that God put the authorities, the actual people, in the established authoritarian mm-hmm. position.
So that
doesn't work.
So that all the places in the Bible where God's people railed against the governing leaders
right.
and rebuked them and condemned them, and all the places in the Bible where the righteous people even disobeyed the governing authorities,
mm-hmm.
what would he make of all that? Because if God is the one who's putting the king in place, and then God is telling his people to disobey the king, and God is putting the law in place, and God is telling people break that law because it's an evil law, I mean, everything is backward.
Everything is backwards, but...
Yeah, right. Everything is backward when we forget the righteousness of God.
Right.
The righteousness of God. So that are we supposed to obey a wicked command?
We're not supposed to obey the wicked command.
No matter of a
parent or a governing official.
If someone instructs you to do evil, are you supposed to do it?
No.
What if it's the governing officials?
No.
Shouldn't we obey man if man has authority over us?
It's not what the Bible says.
What does the Bible say?
It says obey God rather than man.
Come on, you just made that up.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
You didn't?
I didn't.
Really,
that's
says
in
it?
The Bible. That's in the Bible.
It's probably in the Old Testament, and we could ignore
but
it.
But what if you don't obey me and you don't get your paycheck?
Ooh. Now, that's hitting pretty hard.
I know.
But it, you know.
You know, Christians need to think about it.
Yeah.
We don't have the right in God's eyes.
The Apostle Peter stated, and you could find this in the Bible a couple places, that we must obey God rather than man. We must obey God rather than man. That was a conflict that would cause Peter to be arrested.
Yes.
And threatened. He could have even been killed. I mean, Stephen was put to death. The Apostle Paul, at the time, before he was an apostle, was a persecutor, Saul of Benjamin, and he was arresting and beating and even killing Christians, the followers of Christ. And so Peter said, we must obey God rather than man. That's in the book of Acts. You could start with Acts, chapter 5. And that put Peter at great risk, not only of losing out on a paycheck, but even of losing his life.
That's right.
Right. And he had his head on straight. And he knew that when man's authority conflicts with God's authority, you obey God rather than man.
That's right.
Yeah.
And there, see, the other point I was making with him is he was a Christian there, and there was someone else. I didn't know whether he was a Christian or not. He could have given me the citation.
Oh, the other officer.
The other one.
So you said, hey, officer, can we say his name? Last name? First name?
Trent.
Officer Trent. Officer Trent, you're a Christian. I know that there's a risk for being here trying to save innocent kids from being killed. That guy, he's not a Christian. Have him arrest me.
Right.
Have him give me a citation.
I said, you can't. I'm your sister. You're my brother. You're supposed to be with me. They're evil. I'm good. You can't do this.
But
and
he
said,
it.
I have to hold on to Romans 13.
He said, I must obey man rather than God.
That's what he said in essence, yeah.
He didn't use those words?
He said he had to hold on to Romans 13 because God placed those people in authority.
And that is called proof texting. That's called taking a verse out of context and using it to defend sin. Using it to defend your sin, I must obey man rather than God.
It's heartbreaking, Bob, because he is someone who's sincere about his faith.
Yeah, you know what? If Christian leaders for the past 40 years since abortion was first legalized in Colorado in what they call the hard cases, if Christian leaders would have been speaking with one voice all this time and clearly teaching that we must obey God rather than man,
right,
then we would have 10,000 government officials and servants throughout the land who would be committed to honoring God above the killing of unborn children. But we don't have that.
No, we don't.
We don't have 10,000. I don't know if we have one.
We might have one.
I don't know. Well, we might. What's
I know of Chuck Kilgore was an officer.
Oh, he resigned.
He resigned.
Oh, that was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, today.
No, I don't know of one.
I don't know of one. We may have one. You know, a long time ago on the show, I said, if you could name three federal judges who are pro-life, three, I'd like to give you, what did I say, $100? I forget what I said.
I don't remember.
I'd like to give $100. And we had one guy who sent in the names of three officials, three judges. But that wasn't exactly what I meant. Like, not the burden of proof on us. I'd like, because there are over 100 federal judges, I'd like the burden of proof on the audience member who thinks that we are putting good judges in place to say, here are three judges who uphold the personhood of the child and his God-given right to life and would not rule to kill the innocent.
Right.
The burden of proof is on the listener to say, here are the names of three, and here's how I know that that's their position. Not, here are three, what do you think of them?
Yeah.
That's not sufficient, because I don't believe there are three. And I'll again renew that offer. If there is anyone in the audience who knows of three, of all the judges, the Republicans, the pro-life Republican presidents of the last quarter century have nominated so many. In fact, 60% of our federal judiciary are Republican judges. Republican judiciary, the federal judiciary, is solidly pro-abortion. So we're told, oh, well, if we just win one more election, then it's going to all tip in our favor and we'll have a culture of life. Except that we've already nominated 7 of the 9 justices on the U.S. Supreme Court are Republican, and that court is solidly pro-abortion. And 60% of the whole federal judiciary, all the appellate courts, and it's solidly pro-abortion. So what? We need one more?
I don't think so.
No, we got to end one more filibuster, get one more election cycle. What? We had the White House, and we had the Senate, and we had the House of Representatives, and we got judges who would rule to kill Terry Schiavo and to kill Baby 10. They were our judges.
Yep.
So I'd like the names of 3 federal judges who believe that the unborn child is a person who has the God-given right to life and who has not or would not rule. We know by their testimony and rulings that they would never rule to kill a single innocent child. I'd like to see 3. I don't believe there's 1, but 3? I'd like to see them. I'll give $100 to whoever can establish that.
That'd be great if they come up with them.
Yeah, maybe there are 3. Wow, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so Joe, so Officer Trent is misquoting the Bible. It's called having a proof text to defend your sin. And it's sin to do wrong and say, well, I have to, it's my job.
Right.
It's a sin.
No different than the judges at Nuremberg.
Yeah, the judges at Nuremberg who killed the innocent in World War II in the concentration camps, they said, well, it was our job, it was the law, we were following precedent.
That's what they said.
Yeah. So Officer Trent.
But they were executed.
Any chance Officer Trent will listen? None of the judges were executed.
Yeah, there's a good chance.
But some of the defendants at Nuremberg were executed. But judges were convicted. Is there a chance Officer Trent will listen to the show?
There's a chance.
Okay. Well, Officer, we invite you to call and talk privately. We wouldn't ask you to talk on the air because that could, you know.
That's not right.
Yeah, that's right. You're not a spokesman for the Denver Police Department. But call and we could talk privately and talk through this. The Bible says you must obey God rather than man. You are misusing Romans 13 to make yourself comfortable about helping the child killers kill more kids. So please stop doing that. Joe Scott, thanks for joining us.
It's been a pleasure, Bob.
Thank you so much. Joe Scott with Pro-Life Colorado of Ken and Joe Scott fame. It's always great to have Joe in studio. And our website is kgov.com. If you're interested in the open letter project to Dr. Dobson, feel free to email us, bob@kgov.com, or check out our website. You could call us 800-8-NYARD to help us get the word out. And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a great school, Maranatha. May God bless you all.